Guitarist Eddie Van Halen, as we pay tribute to his music a day after his passing at the age of 65. Of course, the Van Halens hailing from Pasadena, John Muir High School in Northwest Pasadena. So local guys going on to rock and roll stardom. Well, for high school seniors, it's like nothing preceding classes have had to deal with. That's applying in the midst of a pandemic. So what is that college application process like? KPECC College Pathways reporter Jill Replogle has been dealing with this and gathering information. Jill, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So some of these would seem to be rather obvious, but I'm sure there are a lot of subtleties involved in this. You know, first of all, since, you know, high school seniors can't do campus visits, how are they learning about the schools to which they want to apply?
Right. Yeah. Campuses have really had to up their virtual game in terms of the kinds of tours and information sessions they're putting out there. You know, one of the good things about this is if you don't have the resources to travel across the country and check out campuses, you can really visit all of these campuses online. You can do these virtual information sessions. And, you know, in some ways that might level the playing field a little bit in terms of who gets to sort of shop around.
All right. And what about testing? Because you don't have those sorts of, you know, vast rooms of SAT and ACT tests anymore, do you?
Right. During the pandemic, a lot of those testing centers had either reduced capacity or just shut down. And so a lot of students weren't able to take standardized tests. And that led lots of universities and colleges, two-thirds of all universities, four-year universities and colleges at this point in the U.S., to either not require standardized test scores for admission, what they call test optional, or just not consider those test scores at all, what they call test blind, for fall 2021 applicants. And that includes the entire University of California and California State University systems. And, you know, there was already a pretty big and growing movement to either get rid of tests or make them optional. There's been a lot of research done, and a lot of people see these tests as not an equal and fair way to judge a student's abilities. You know, some students have access to things like private test prep, others don't. And so in a lot of ways, critics of standardized tests are really happy about this move.
And so what is taking the place of that as the screening process for the admissions teams at colleges?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, the CSU system looks at grades, and then they used to look at standardized tests. Those were sort of the two big things. Now they're, you know, they'll probably weigh a little bit more heavily on grades. All the CSU schools can have a little bit of flexibility in deciding exactly how they're going to weigh different things. But, you know, even grades, a lot of schools this last semester in the fall and even some in the spring did things like pass fail grades and, you know, or pass no pass, or just gave some schools gave everybody A's. And so college admissions officers said that they're really going to try to be thoughtful, especially thoughtful this year about putting those applications into context, you know, figuring out what the situation was at those specific schools. Did the student have the option to do pass fail, or was that just a school-wide policy? And, you know, and really kind of try to give students a break because they realize that this has been an especially tough year for, especially for juniors and seniors.
Jill Replogle joining us, KPCC College Pathways reporter, who's been taking an in-depth look at the challenging environment, not just for the high school seniors or others applying for college, but for the institutions themselves, for high school, you know, college counselors. All of this a very difficult position. I would love to hear from high school seniors, if you're playing hooky from your Zoom class, give us a call right now at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, and share with us how you're going through the college application process and even determining the places where you want to apply when, you know, college visits are typically a big part of the process. 866-893-KPECC. If you're the parent of a high school senior and your senior is immersed in class right now, please let us know what she or he is doing to make their way through the process. 866-893-5722. Also with us from the University of Southern California, Associate Professor of Higher Education, Julie Posselt. Professor, thank you very much for joining us. From the institution's perspective, this has got to be very challenging for universities and colleges to vet the applicants.
Absolutely. Jill mentioned that institutions are having to up their virtual game, and obviously we're all going online in new ways this year, but one of the most important things that institutions are having to do is create the most comprehensive set of virtual recruitment events possible, because everyone is having to recruit in this new environment. A lot of institutions are creating new ways to connect with admissions officers too. So this is actually a good way that families can determine the kind of support that they might expect to receive on a campus, is how they are managing this difficult admission cycle.
And I wonder about, colleges investing in this. Are they doing really slick produced videos that, show the campus to its highest effect? And are they putting together, Zoom sessions with current students to talk with prospective students? Is there a lot of that, media production taking place?
Absolutely. We live in a time where institutions are having to market themselves. And so there are big budgets going into the production of the most positive, rosy picture of what the campus environment looks like. But again, that individual contact is really important for families, especially given that anxieties and pressures are running high for so many people. One thing that we're definitely seeing is that campuses with more and less resources have more and less resources to dedicate to this recruitment process. And so that's one thing for families to potentially be thinking about.
Has this in some way leveled the playing field for students without significant financial means and those who have the means to travel to distance colleges and to do all the expensive, in many cases, ways of determining where to apply?
That's a good question. I mean, I think what we tend to see is that although the costs of visiting campuses have been effectively equalized since nobody can visit campuses, there are myriad ways that other aspects of the admissions and application process are continuing to magnify inequalities that were already there.
And so what are some of the ways it's made that worse?
Well, you can think, for example, about the opportunities that students are having to apply to many colleges. Now, some places are creating waivers for application fees for students whose family's financial situations have changed. But over time, students are applying to more and more institutions. And if you've had any sort of disruption during this time in your ability to apply, that's being affected. A lot of families, too, because of financial disruptions, may be offsetting the notion of college altogether out of concern that they'll be able to afford it for their families.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Maybe it's too early to determine, but certainly for the start of this academic year, a number of students decided that they would wait on attending college. Even a number of current college students are doing other things instead of doing online classes. Do you have any sense at this early point whether this might affect the numbers who are looking at the 2021 academic year?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or I should say 21-22. I'm sorry, you're behind.
No, I knew exactly what you were talking about. Yeah, I think a lot of us hoped that by the time we got to this point, things would be getting a little bit more back to what a typical admissions process would look like. But as the hope of a vaccine is extending into 2021, certainly admissions for next year is going to be affected as well. And with that, all kinds of uncertainties for both students and institutions about enrollment and when the best time to plan to go back is.
Well, let's talk with some AirTalk listeners. Greg in Glendale, I understand that you have a daughter who's in high school. How's she going through this process?
Fine. She's, the normal process. This is our third child, so the other two, she's just following the same lead of filling out applications, setting up the essays. But to what you guys were just talking about, the one challenge is the visits. The second challenge would be the testing, SAT, ACT. Those are challenges because they keep getting pushed back or canceled, the testing, I'm saying.
Yeah, and has that led to any increased anxiety with your daughter, or is she taking it in stride?
You know, she's pretty much taking it in stride. It's not that that stressful for her. I think it's more stressful for her mom and I because some of the schools that are out of state, it's obviously challenge, you know, for those schools because, you know, yeah, you could go over the holidays, you could go over a weekend, but the challenge would be that, you know, she doesn't get to see what the other students look like. The campus is not alive, as it were.
Yeah.
Normal, as it were. So that's a little bit of anxiety because, you know, college is not cheap. And if we're going to spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 plus, you know, we got to fly her back and forth a couple times a year. Just kidding. you know,
she's staying there, right? Yeah, Greg. So many things to consider. And yeah, you can do the campus visit with no one there, but it's such a different vibe than to see how students are moving around the campus, the way they interact with each other. Are there professors and staff members who are visible interacting with the students? All of those sorts of things that give you a really good sense of what the culture of a particular campus is like. Julie Posselt of USC, is there any way to sort of fill that gap?
You know, I don't think that a video will ever give you as much of a sense as you can get in person, but there might be a little bit of comfort to be had in remembering that an in-person visit that happens over a couple of days isn't going to give you that deep perspective as much as you might imagine it could either. It'll give you impressions to be there in person for a couple of days, but it isn't going to tell you what the student's experience is going to be like. So gathering as much information as you can from other sources about student well-being, about student outcomes, this is all information that is publicly available in various places that families might be interested in drawing upon during this time.
Carrie and Encina, we're getting a little short on time, but you wanted to comment directly on this issue of how you get a sense of the student experience. Your son's a senior, so how is he doing this?
Hi, Larry. One thing we found incredibly helpful was reaching out to our network of friends and family with kids at universities and speaking to them directly about the class experience. In many cases, they were willing to meet us at these universities, give us a personalized tour. And then in addition, something we found, there's a lot of information online, student vlogs, activities, anything your child might be interested in, go to that direct Facebook or Instagram page. Get a feel for the vibe of the campus, what the interests of your child are, and how does that each university respond to those interests and support them. And that's been an incredibly helpful tool for us in this time.
Carrie, you sound like you could have been a guest in this segment. Thank you. I appreciate it. That's Carrie and Encino, Jill Rep, local KPCC College Pathways reporter. Is there a sense that, you know, there's often a great deal of stress around this high school senior year for students applying to college? In the conversations that you had with students and with families, is your sense that the pandemic has added to that in the process, or has it had in any way an opposite effect?
I think it's definitely added to the stress. I think because, you know, students who are already struggling to keep up with their classes online, and maybe they've had a family hardship, and you know, as one principal put it to me, like, they know they have a calculus test tomorrow and they've got to take care of that. But doing their college application, they can wait till the evening and then it might not happen. And so I think, you know, for a lot of students, it's kind of turning into a second thought.
All right. Duncan and Tustin says, I have a high school senior. We've dealt with the interest in visiting colleges by doing road trips and online video tours. Even though campuses are empty, we're still walking the campuses. We want to proceed as if school will be in person at the start of the 2021 school year. Duncan and Tustin, thank you so much for that. I want to thank you, Julie Posselt of USC, Associate Professor of Higher Education. We appreciate it so much. And KPCC College Pathways reporter Jill Rep Local, you can read her in-depth reporting on what this college application is like at laist.com. Coming up on Air Talk, we look at sex workers and how they've had to adapt in this era of the pandemic. We'll talk with a dancer who's moved from live performances in a brick-and-mortar venue to online dancing. And I want to hear from those of you that work in this industry. What are the pros and cons of moving to the virtual experience, and how do you connect with those that have been your fans and supporters? 866-893-KPCC. We'll be back in 90 seconds on Air Talk.